Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the book club. This is In Plain English. We are doing for our book, The Purpose Driven Life, Expanded Edition. What on earth am I here for? Today is day 17, and there are, to me, it's a mixed bag in this actual day for me. Like, I like some of it. The first part, I was really pulled in by it, and then the second part of it, I was very much turned off by it, because on one hand it sounded really, really encouraging, and then on the other hand it sounded really like, do this, you better do this. If you don't do this, this is what you do. This. On it. So I didn't really like it comprehensively. Like, the first two pages, loved it. For the remainder of the day, I was just like, ugh. Like, I was really in disagreement with a lot of it. What were you in disagreement with, you ask? Well, When he was talking about different aspects of your responsibility to the church. So let's start at the beginning, and then we'll work our way through. The title of day 17 is A Place to Belong, A Place to Belong. And again, the cliche cops routed in this actual chapter. There's three or four cliches in here that were clicky little phrases, like, following Christ includes belonging, not just believing. It's like, oh my goodness. What's another interesting one? These are my opinions, not trying to tear down, but this is just actually, a lot of it sounded like mind control talk, if you want me to be 100% frank. As members of Christ's body, we are his hands, his feet, his eyes, and his heart. It's like, my goodness. I mean, if I hear that one more time, here's another one. Attenders are consumers. Members are contributors. It's like, goodness. Ugh. Here's another one. The difference between being a church attendee and a church member is commitment. Like, sounds like an army commercial almost. But I do get the gist of day 17. I don't want to come off as, mean or what's the word, mean, or what's the word, cranky or salty about this particular chapter, because I'm not. It's just, there are just some things in this chapter. I mean, really, I don't want to say some things. I just think this chapter could have been like one page, I think. I mean, but again, I think a lot of the actual reads itself, to me, could have been like one or two pages. No, that's just, again, this is another personal opinion about it. But let's get to my love and then some of this day, and then we'll move on to what kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and then we'll close out. We'll conclude. I love the first two pages. It says you're called to belong, not just not just to believe. And, you know, he repeated it again, which made it sound cliche-ish. But it stood out to me, the first two sentences, when he said, even in the perfect sinless environment of Eden, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And I found that really, really interesting that people do need us. We're created, you know, it says in the Bible, man was created for woman, you know, or woman was created for man. We need each other. You know, it's not really an option to say, okay, thanks for the baptism. I'm a member of Christ's body. Okay, don't ever call me, text me, or communicate me. Facebook or message me ever again. I'm out. Like, that's not, I don't think that's loving. I don't think that that's being kind. I don't think that's being giving. And he talks about, too, you're not on your own anymore. Once you're part of the God's church, you no longer have the need to be like the so-called loner. And which should be, on one hand, soothing and calming. But on the flip side, it's like for some people who aren't big on being in the middle of a group or being around all kinds of people, to them, being at church may be more of a hassle than what they do desire. He does touch on this as well, though, later on in the actual day, to where, which is a great point. Your holiness will be tested. You know, it may seem easier to be holy if no one else is around to frustrate your preferences, but that's a false, untested holiness. Isolation breeds deceitfulness. It's easy to fool ourselves into thinking we are mature, and there's no one to challenge us. Real maturity shows up in relationships. And again, I disagree with isolation breeding deceitfulness. Deceitfulness breeds deceitfulness. Like, you're not wanting to be open. It should actually, I believe, it should actually be deceitfulness breeds isolation, where deceitfulness can grow and flourish. You being alone does not there equal, isolation does not equal deceitfulness, or being by yourself does not equal deceitfulness. You know, any more than going to a church does equate to openness, love, or being married equate to love. Like, I mean, you can't, one to me does not equal the other. And that to me is an issue I had in this day. It was very cookie cutter like. Like, it was very you know, very cookie cutter-ish. If you're here, this means that. If you're there, it means that. You know, if you're here, this will happen. If you're there, that will happen. And it's like, no, that's not true. And I think in a lot of ways, thinking like that is very, very dangerous. Because then all you need to do is look at situations and circumstances and not even think, and then start to, quote unquote, help somebody. But in actuality, things aren't always the way they seem. Sometimes they are exactly the way they seem. But we have to find out. And to me, that's what I picked up from this particular day. There are some things that were in here that were great, but there's other things where it's like, a church family will help you keep from backsliding. I was like, huh? Really? You know, and then I wrote, actually, a church family may cause you to backslide, or may you know inspire you to backslide. To me, I really don't agree with that section. You know, or maybe it needed to be worded differently. I don't know, but I definitely don't agree with that. That if you go to church, you won't, you know, you won't backslide, because again, the Pharisees were in the church all the time, and they killed Jesus. You know, you can say going to church could get you killed. That actually might be probably a more accurate depiction of churchgoers. And to me, I find this day for me on a personal level very problematic. A lot of the stuff in here very problematic. Some of the stuff definitely usable in your life as a Christian, but definitely extremely problematic, because then you get into this mode of forgetting about God. God's the one that it's all about, you know. And yes, God made people in his image. And yes, God called us to love those people that he made his image. But it's still all about God. And, I definitely, I have an issue, I have a serious issue when it's not all about God. I have a serious issue about that. Because then you can get into blaming people, like, oh, well, it was because my church didn't do X, Y, or Z. That's why I got pregnant. That's why, you know, I stole these shoes from the Foot Locker. It's the church, you know. If they would have, you know, been in my life, you know, and it's like, you know, keeping you on track, responsibility of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. And you have a lot of people that want to try to blame shift their way out of their responsibility to God, and them stomping on the Holy Spirit inside of themselves so that they can do the sin that they want to do. It's just not, to me, it's just not right. It goes on to talk about spiritual leaders. Not hard about that. I just think, you know, we're accountable to God, as I just said, not to a spiritual leader. I think, you know, spiritual leaders are your brothers, you know, and you just, you walk hand in hand towards God, you know. But I think the last thing you want is someone, someone that is the authority that you're accountable to other than God. Like, if you're not accountable to God, but you're accountable to your spiritual leader, that's a problem. If you say you're only accountable to God, you know, and you're not going to be humble before your spiritual leader, that's a problem. But you have to be accountable to God first in everything, so that you can be useful to the church. You can be useful to your brothers and sisters, or else all you are is like what he. I mean, it's very interesting. It's like everything that he said in the second half of day 17, almost it was like, I don't want to say contradictory, but the heart seemed more like a, I don't know, contrary, kind of contrary, but where you could say, no, I meant this. It was very, it's very interesting. Meaning, I'll say this, in the first part that, I mean, I was in love with, he said, Paul being a member of the church, being a vital organ of the living body, an indispensable interconnected part of the body of Christ. The church is a body, not a building, an organization, an organism, not an organization. That was another cliche. An organism, not an organization. These Jesse Jackson phrases killing me. For the organs of your body to fulfill their purpose, it must be connected to your body. Yeah. And what does connected mean? being in their lives. Four hours one day a week isn't sufficient. It isn't sufficient. 4 hours, you know, 6 hours total spread out over 2 days out of the week isn't sufficient. We're talking about connection. And I just don't, to me, I just don't see, you know, I see the place of belonging. I see the importance of connection. But, you know, stops with just going to church. I think church may be kind of a launch pad. I think it's a 7 day thing, not a 1 or 2 day thing, to where you guys are connected. That's why I found myself very confused, like when we're talking about, you know, okay, not being isolated, being kept from, you know, I understand the body of Christ needs you. He said that's another part of it. The ministry, you know, your local fellowship is a place God designed for you to discover, develop, and use your gifts, you know. Amen. I agree. It's just, it's just this. I think, things have to be done a specific way, I believe. And how you do whatever it is that you do, that's the shape of your heart. That's your heart. So if you're going to church just because, you know, Rick Warren says that you should go to church, you know, you're missing the point. You know, you're part of a group just because, you know, I'm doing this to keep from backsliding, you know. I think you're missing the point. You know, I don't want to shrivel up. That's why I go to church. It's like, you're missing the point. I think it's not, to me, it's not about survival or doing the right thing. It's fulfilling your purpose. It's fulfilling your purpose and loving other people. And church is another venue for you to do that with your brothers and sisters. It may have been that I've just heard different, I've heard this in different ways, in so many different ways, so many different times that I may be like, kind of like, oh, here we go again with this. You know, you better go to church message more than me actually. I mean, I see the heart, and the heart of it is manifest what God has given you inside, your spirit. You use the talents and gifts that He has given to you intentionally, on purpose, just to you, with your brothers and sisters. Care for and take responsibility for your brothers and sisters, i.e. Cain and Abel. You can't exist without God. And loving your brothers and sisters allows you to grow and progress. I don't think that many people want or care to hear about, if you don't do this, this terrible thing is going to happen to you. You know, I like to focus on the positive. If you do this, these positive things will happen to other people. If you do this, this is you showing love back to God for every wonderful thing He's done for you. Don't you want to do that? But maybe it's just simply this. I have maybe beef with maybe how it's said, but not really the heart of it. Because I do think it is important. It is important not to be self-centered. Could isolation be self-centeredness? Absolutely. But sometimes, some of the most self-centered people are at church all the time, wanting to be seen, wanting to be heard, thirsty for some me time, while they're serving, singing, giving, everything is about them, and that's the shape of your heart why you do something. So to me, I think it can cause more problems. It can be more problematic if you're looking at someone who's not going to church as being self-centered. You know, it can mean a lot of different things, and I say find out. And as well, vice versa, someone who's going to church, you can sometimes overlook them and not realize, wait a minute, this person's being self-centered. You know, there's situations even in the New Testament where people that were jumping over each other to rush and get communion, not waiting, you know, coming to eat, just to eat. They were taking communion not to remember God, but to eat, to fill their stomach. And these are people that were going to church. So again, it's, you know, and he does touch on it, an aspect of realizing that where you are called, like he says, God wants you to love real people, not ideal people. A little cliche-ish. You can spend a lifetime searching for the perfect church, but you'll never find it. You're called to love imperfect sinners, just as God does. And sometimes you need to go into isolation, you know, and to fast and see God's face on your own time and get away from people so that you can, you know, you can be still before God and be obedient before man. You know, Jesus did that a lot. He would get away to lonely spots, in isolated spots, and see God's face. The clincher is he wasn't one-sided. He wasn't just like a monk. And he wasn't like, you know, like a, you know, a sh- you know, strutting around like a show chicken. You know, he was both. He was balanced. So it's definitely important to give to the church, but you got to have something to give. And going to church does not mean that you have something to give. You could actually be a taker. And I think some people need to go spend time, maybe spend time away, take a few days off, you know, and get close to God. You know, I believe that for me, I'm going to be doing that fairly soon. But yeah, the heart of this chapter was good. I love the title, A Place to Belong, because we all need. I mean, I circled it and I put arrows on it. The title, because the title is so true. We all desire to interlock with each other in special ways, but we cannot be each other's gods. We can't be each other's gods. You know, doing the right thing can't be a god. You know, being in the right place can't be a god. God has to be a god, and we have to be willing to love one another the way that God mandates that we do. This has been day 17 of A Purpose-Driven Life. What am I on earth? What on earth am I here for? I always mess that up. I'll get it right soon. What on earth am I here for? By Rick Warren. This is In Plain English. Wishing you clear horizons and a peaceful, peaceful path. You take care.
do this music's for you. Cause you made every single one of my dreams come true. Many will say I said it, but I can't take the credit, forget it, I'm indebted to you. Try to do my own thing, go my own way, but Jesus, I'm headed to you.
Spiritual amenities, thank you, God.
But it's about